On this month's episode of the We've Seen That Fight, we're talking about a show, The Last of Us, and you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm Scott.
And I'm Anthony.
Cut the music. We are back again.
This is not a dream.
This is real life. You're getting a special edition Monday night, probably around like 8:30, 8:45 drop. Where to begin, Anthony? So I don't know if last episode was when I said I started my own business, but I've started my own business. And suddenly certain things have become less important. And if you're listening and hearing, how could you say such a thing, Scott? The podcast is the most important thing. How many people listen to this, Anthony?
You see the numbers.
Well, the answer would be...
I don't like to
16 unique people. So, of the two that are very upset and have pointed out, Ben, I'm
sorry.
That
was an all-time gif.
What a tweet. What a tweet. Amazing. Just from, what was it, from Narcos? Yeah. And the guy's just sitting on the swing all lonely.
Pablo Escobar, yeah.
I apologize. Now, no, the show is not canceled, but I think what I've decided, Anthony, is what we're going to have to do is, like, I wouldn't say we want our show to be like Joe Rogan's in any way, because we're definitely not qualified to be talking about most things. But what he does is just randomly drops episodes. He doesn't exactly have a schedule. And I think for now, that's just going to have to be the case. Because, like, it's a lot going on. And I can't envision having 3 hours every week. Can't envision it currently. So maybe we'll try to stick to that bi-weekly schedule for now.
Right.
And see what happens.
I love it.
I'm sorry, but I'm also not apologizing, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like we're at a somewhat of a crossroads here. I think we will get through this period of time where we're not recording as frequently. But that being said, I've had so many people come up to me, and this is not to rag on our beautiful listeners who do listen, but they'll be like, oh, you should do this on your pod, or you should do that on your pod, and they don't listen to it. So it's like, I'm not trying, like I said, I'm not trying to rag on people, but it's like, you're not listening to it, so why would I do that? Or, like, what, you know? It's just, like, me trying to be real with our real listeners here for a second. Like, not that many people listen to this. Like, I don't know what else to say. And I would say that we've kind of built a pretty good podcast. Like, if you go back into our library of how much time we spent on some of these goddamn movies, like, we have given a very good attempt.
There's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
It takes a while to scroll down the list. That's when you know you've done it for a long time.
It does. So that's where I'm saying I'm sorry, but I'm not apologizing. Because I'm doing something currently that I do believe will be a very, very important thing in my life. Maybe, you know, like, career-wise, probably the most important thing. And one of them pays me, one of them doesn't, and I'll let you guess which one's which.
We're definitely not throwing in the white towel.
No,
but let's just hope that Scott does not end up like Apollo Creed in Rocky IV.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and is this kind of a little of what Jim described, where the passion is gone? Not exactly. No, it's just moving a little bit. Like, the passion is changing to something different. And I think it's hard to keep focus on certain things sometimes. One being a podcast where 16 people listen to it. And I feel bad mostly for Ben, a little bit for AJ, a lot for Jim, because Jim, you know, is probably like, man, I now decide to be a listener and the content just gets cut in half. I feel bad for Adam. I feel bad for Julia. I feel bad for any of your coworkers who listen to it, Anthony. I feel bad for any of my coworkers that listen to it. Yeah. But from there, I mean, who else do we got?
That's true.
So the people I listed, I'm sorry that it's been about 3 weeks now. But here we go. Like, I don't even know where to begin of what I've been watching. Because really, it mainly has been The Last of Us. That's kind of one of the things that I have been watching. And then other than that, like, because that's obviously what we're going to talk about today. But other than that, I don't really have much. I haven't watched a ton of movies other than I accidentally woke up at 2:30 in the morning once and I watched The Hangover, the original Hangover.
Nice.
And that movie fucking is still so goddamn funny. I love that movie so much. What about you, Anthony? Can you try to carry and state some of the things you've been watching? Like, do you want to talk about your Dells trip?
We can certainly get into that a little bit.
Okay.
I suppose to keep it on topic first, I have seen quite a bit of movies, but it's hard to remember if I've talked about them so far.
God, we fucking suck.
The last time we were on here.
We stink.
I don't think I said it on here, but I did watch Banshees of Inisherin. I know I talked about it in the group chat a little bit, the Oscar-nominated film. It's on HBO right now if anybody wants to watch it, with Colin Farrell and, oh, goodness, it's going to piss me off. I'm going to have to give him the credit he needs. Hold on, bear with me. Anyway, it's a very, very good movie. If I had to say, I would, from what I've heard, it could be the lead for Best Picture, but
yeah,
I don't want to, you know, put my money on it quite yet, but I thought it was very good. I gave it like a solid like 8 out of 10.
We could go into that quick too. Oscar nominations obviously came out.
Yeah.
I have one reaction, surprised reaction. How many nominations Elvis got?
That's, it was, yes, I agree. It was quite surprising. And I don't hate it. The movie,
no, you
know, I was kind of on the movie, but I'm just surprised at how much love it's actually getting.
Every category.
Yeah.
Every category. I mean, like,
and Austin Butler seems like the favorite.
That's shocking.
It is kind of shocking. He was good. He was very good.
He was good, yes, but in just, like, I would say, underwhelmed by others that made him seem good. Like, that's kind of where I landed there. Because that movie was a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, and I know Adam said this in one of the group chats too. He's like, it's just surprising to see how much love like these like biopic movies are getting lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
know. Maybe that's just the recipe lately.
I guess. It's just like, I like Elvis, so I'm going to, you know, maybe. I don't know. It's tough. But yeah, I think that I think my takeaway is I'm really glad that Top Gun Maverick got the nod.
God, if that wins, I will just be so happy.
I mean, it comes down to that, like, this is the action movie where, like, our whole lives, a kind of an artistic movie has won. And this would be the first time where it's like, yes, color and guns and ships.
Well, and just like the commercially most popular movie, probably. I mean, depending on how you want to look at it, because obviously Avatar has become like the highest box office movie of the year.
How does that movie not get nominations for like costume design? Or like, I mean, like, how does Avatar 2 only get like 3 nominations compared to 15 from Elvis?
I just think it was a little late to the party, unfortunately.
But is that how
it got like the main ones you'd expect to, like, obviously digital effects,
Best Picture,
and all that stuff. But
yeah, but like, how does that? Do they get to transfer to next year that they get to get nominated again, or like, because like lateness shouldn't matter? I don't know. Anyway.
But I do feel like I should also state, sorry to interrupt, because Adam drilled us for months on it. I did finish Andor, and it's every bit as good as Adam said. It's the best Star Wars show, in my opinion.
Yeah?
It's better than Mandalorian. Or I like it more than Mandalorian.
looks like I gotta watch that.
It's really good.
It's incredible. I'm looking forward to that one. I have prioritized The Last of Us, and I think the next priority will probably go to Andor, because I've recommended it to people when I tell them I haven't even seen it. So, like, okay, Anthony, what else have you watched? Anything?
God, I feel like I rewatched The Northman. Still love yep. that movie a lot.
That was on our last pod, I think.
Oh, I think it really was.
Yeah.
There was like a handful of stuff I felt like I should have talked about, but... I watched the movie Big again. The Tom Hanks movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. That's a good one. It's hilarious. Yeah. And it just gets creepier and creepier now the more you think that she just slept with a 13-year-old kid, basically, if you really think about it.
Yikes.
And she seems like way too comfortable with it at the end, but... You know,
interesting.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But
we've seen that podcast does not condone that behavior.
It's a good movie, though. Tom Hanks is incredible. But yeah, I don't know. Other than that, then I went to the Dells and got really drunk this past weekend.
Dude, I saw your guys' safari outfits. Fantastic.
Oh, man. It was a riot. The guy, yeah. The best part, honestly, I mean, we spent an ungodly amount of time in the swim up bar.
Have to.
It was fun. Yeah, it was nice. But there is a piano bar there where some guy just played requests and stuff all night long and sang and played the piano. He was fucking awesome.
That'd be
it
fun.
It was a riot. And we were just screaming along. It was just a blast.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. That'd
that
be
was
a
fun.
Good time.
Kalahari, I'd give it 8 out of 10 for a fun
8
weekend.
Out of 10?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. I didn't like how fucking hungover I was, so that kind of had to knock down points, but you had to expect it.
What'd you expect?
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but it always pisses me off.
I'm ticked you guys didn't take my recommendation of going to the Grateful Sheds.
We didn't even leave the resort ever.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Just got blitzed.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. We got hammered right away Friday when we got there, and then, like, I think we were up by all of us pretty much up and at them about 9 o'clock, and we started having a few breakfast drinks, and I don't know, it just kind of Saturday just became like an all-day affair, and it was
yikes.
It was a marathon for sure. I was dragging a little bit, but we had some smelling salts, and we picked it right up.
Jesus Christ.
It was wild.
Had some smelling salts and picked it up. Just say that like it's nothing.
Oh, man, have you ever... It was terrible.
I used to have smelling salts in the apartment when Rob and I lived together, and I would fuck with them all the time.
God,
just pop one and just...
They're so harsh. They actually just make you go nuts for a little bit. It's crazy.
They're not... Some people actually like take them in the gym, and it's like a really weird tactic. And And they don't look like you think they would. You pop them, and they turn like into a red dye almost.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Well, Evan's buddy brought... just like a bottle, like it looked like just like, you know, like a pill bottle,
mm-hmm.
but it was actually just, there was just a solid thing in there. It wasn't like individual things. You just, all you basically had to do was pop the cap and smell inside the bottle, and that's how it just drilled you. It was,
that's different.
Gnarly. It was intense.
I had the ones that pop each capsule.
Well, that's like, they see it on the NFL sidelines all the time. People doing that stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was all a riot, right, though.
Well, let's I don't have any hype. So let's get into The Last of Us here, because
well, we got 3 episodes to talk about, so it'll take a little bit. Yeah.
I mean
it's kind of a journey, at least so far.
After last night's episode, I really am just so beyond curious of where the show goes. Like I that's all I can say. We'll get to it, but like if we go back to the start a little bit, obviously the opening sequence of, you know, Joel's daughter dying is something we all knew was coming. But man, like,
the execution was pretty much flawless. It was,
especially, you know, with her actually like losing her breath, and it was pretty graphic, I feel like, compared to obviously the video game where you're not getting as much emotion because of CGI, but like, yeah, that was pretty intense.
Yeah.
And then the rest of that, you know, kind of first episode, it very much followed the game, other than, you know, Joel's daughter kind of goes over to the neighbor's house, and we start to see a little bit more of like the infection spreading,
which is great.
Right, like
I love that.
Yeah, so what this has done really well so far has taken the off script of the game pieces and done a fucking absurdly good job. Like, if we go to dive into episode 2 a little bit, because you don't exactly need to go in order on some of this. When we had the soldier, basically like the head of the army of, I forget which country it is.
I think India.
When he goes and finds this doctor to talk to her about, you know, fungus and like what's going to happen with the fungus and stuff and like what her recommendation would be. And her recommendation is to bomb cities. You're just like, holy shit. Like,
right.
It, I mean, the side stories that we're getting in this are fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it makes me think that we're telling a different story than the game did, but telling the same story in a way. It's just very different.
There's been a few really specific, especially in episodes 2 and 3, where certain characters either A, make a little bit different decisions than they do in the game, or have different outcomes, which we can talk about. But yeah, their use of like flashbacks and digging into how the virus started, which you don't really see in the game, has been super effective for like a television show. Like, being able to put that on the screen is like much more effective than I think it would have been in the game, just because it's, you just feel like it's, you know, all tied in a lot better. But yeah, like when they found out that you couldn't do anything about cordyceps, like had it infected the brain, you know, it can't, in the first episode you find out, you know, it can't live in the human body, and then they're just like, well, if it ever could, you know, we'd be fucked. And then we find out it happens in episode 2, and that's why that professor in India is just like, yeah, we're basically screwed. You should bomb the city and everybody in it. Like, you're just like, it really speaks to how serious and how, you know, dangerous this thing really was, that in real time, you know, it puts it like in a real time perspective, which is cool.
Well, and if we think about it, like, we've seen a lot of zombie movies and zombie shows and like origins of how it's started. I would say that this is maybe the best, like maybe the best actual storytelling of actually seeing it from inception. And yes, there's still kind of an unknown of how it started. Like in episode 3, Joel's like, yeah, there were certain processed foods that people ate, and that's how we think it started. But like, to actually see the inception, to see the way that it takes over the body, and then to see like what it can do is just like, I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
Like the thought of, you know, just a fungus basically spreading caused this is crazy.
I think,
and
yeah, I just think the decision they made to, because in the game, you could get it by spores, which is creepy and stuff. And in a game, it doesn't really matter. But if you really like wanted to like get nitpicky, like spores should technically be able to just disperse all over the place, so you should be getting it airborne. Like, it didn't really make much sense for like that to be one of the main causes. So the fact that they went, instead of like basically eliminating spores, they basically created a hive mind where it can like talk to itself, because it obviously has grown throughout the world, and within certain areas it can like basically send itself transmission messages and like wake up part of the sleeping zombies. And so that's creepy as fuck, and I thought that was really cool.
I would say that like how hard this writing actually is, and maybe you could say that it's a little bit easy because you kind of had the bones of a script, but like the way that they've adapted it and like changed it, and I mean, so many people are like typical this is different than the book type people, but it seems that every decision they've made so far has been a home run.
Which,
like,
it's helps, you know, it's amazing what can actually happen when you bring along the creators of the video game to help in the writing process. Like, the guy's name is Neil Druckmann, and after each episode they always have like a little inside the episode thing, talking about what happened. And he's always on there talking about the changes that they made. And they're like, he's like, we wouldn't have done it if we didn't think it was for the better part of the story on TV. He's like,
yeah,
which is awesome that he at least he has the input to change certain things if he wants to, because he was the one who created the game. It was, yeah. So it's been pretty great so far.
Yeah.
Every change they've made.
I mean, and you go to episode two with the death of what was her name? Jules. Tess. So her death scene was awesome. And the frightening part of like this slow ass fucking infected zombie like walking towards her and just the little fibers yes. going in her mouth as she's trying to light this lighter to fucking get everything blown up and shit. Oh my god, like it's just it's amazing. And obviously all this is in pursuit of Pedro Pascal, aka Joel, delivering what's the girl's name?
Ellie.
Is she delivering her to the Fireflies?
Right. Yeah, taking them to some different outpost so they can get her to a lab.
Yeah. So, I think that when I got to episode three, like I knew the way that they got the car in the game. I got to that point in the game, episode three, dude. I mean, talk about this turn that they took to you basically get Ron Swanson, a.k.a. Nick Offerman, in a basement. And he plays, Bill and yes, so.
Ends up finding Bill, Frank, yeah.
Bill and Frank. So they play a role in the game, not nearly the role they play
in this. Frank's not even, you don't even see Frank.
Right.
You
right.
just know that Bill had like a partner is what mm-hmm. they just referred to him as, and that he kind of just abandoned him, because in the game, you know, we'll spoil the show here in a little bit. In the game, Frank ends up kind of just like leaving, and you're not really sure what happened, but then you end up finding him. He had like, I think he had gotten bitten on a certain mission and ends up hanging himself, unfortunately. So you end up finding his body when you're playing as like Joel and stuff, but yeah, like Bill never knew what happened, it seemed like, in the game, and that's why he was so ornery and cranky in there. But yeah, this definitely changes things for sure.
I mean, because the start, the government's taking out all these people because they're infected and they're just going to kill them. They don't even know if they're all infected yet because this was right at the beginning.
Yeah,
they're
just evacuating panicking. Towns, yeah.
Yeah. And Nick Offerman is just in his basement with a shotgun, and I forget what he says. It's like, "Not today, you boot bastards," or something. And then just like the next 5 minutes is him just being the greatest survivalist of all time.
Yeah.
Just like steals a truck, steals a boat, goes and gets just a shit ton of gasoline, goes to Home Depot and gets like everything he'd need for his house for the next God knows how long. And then just like, I don't know. The survivalist scene, really cool, right? And then you're introduced to Murray Bartlett, who has, I think, placed himself in Nick Offerman's trap to kind of be like, hey, maybe he fell in? I don't know.
I think he, fell in, I believe.
Okay.
That's what we're supposed to think, yeah.
So when they meet, suddenly you are just taken on the most bizarre love story placement in a third episode turn that you could have ever imagined. Like, I don't know a better way to describe it other than like, there's no way I could have ever predicted this being in the show. And what really just made it so incredible to me was like, Nick Offerman has clearly been like this loner, like, you know, survivalist type guy. He hoards a bunch of shit, thinks 9/11's a conspiracy.
For like his whole life, it seems like.
Yeah. And he lets someone into his life. And obviously, like, even more so being it's a gay couple in 2003. Like, it was definitely a different time then. Gay marriage wasn't legal. So at the end of this episode, you know, it's pretty symbolic that they're putting rings on each other's fingers and stuff. But, like, I mean, an unreal relationship. Like, you get the fights from, like, where they've been together for 3 years and Murray Bartlett's, like, "You think the government is all Nazis," and maybe the best line delivery by Nick Offerman going, "They are all Nazis." So
and
like,
he's just like, "Well, yeah, now, but
not yeah, like yeah." But like, so funny where he's like, "I want to invite people to meet," and they're just in this little secluded town, and like that's how Joel and Tess kind of come into play here, where we get kind of where this path is, but. Man, I mean, you get this whole journey of they had invaders try to come take their shit, and Nick Offerman is just out there with a rifle blasting dudes in the rain and shit. But like, I think where for me the heartstrings get tugged at is like, obviously at the end of this, Murray Bartlett gets sick and he wants to just die because medicine isn't going to cure the disease that he has. So they plan that it's gonna be his last night, and he takes pills and drinks them all, but it turns out Nick Offerman had done the same thing, so they like basically commit suicide together, or euthanize themselves, I guess you could say. And you get this letter from Nick Offerman to
probably Joel
yeah. Which is really funny, but like when he says that he didn't think he had a purpose and then found out that his purpose was to be there for Frank, it's just like, oh my fucking God. Like, where did this episode come from? This emotion of, like, so much. I don't know. I thought it was amazing.
It's a great decision because Joel has still been really hard to crack so far because of his past. But I think this is just a good way to, because he eventually ends up, you know, I'm going to spoil anything for anybody who's, whatever, but him and Ellie become very close, mm-hmm. and obviously it kind of goes back to him wanting to protect her because of what happened to his daughter. But I think you needed something that like was like this kind of plants a seed into Joel's head that maybe he can become a good guy again, you know, sort of thing. And yeah, I don't know, it was super effective because yeah, now we had that. We spent that entire episode with these people that are now going to be out of the show completely because they're dead. So it's crazy.
And it really makes you wonder where it's going to go. That's what I came away from this saying. You know, this isn't just the video game. There's so much more that's going to be a part of this series that, you know, really, you don't know what each episode's going to be. And apparently Adam was saying that that's what all the people who pre-watched this said, was like, this was the turning point of the show because it became more than the video game. So, we will see where this goes, but like, if you could score episodes 1 through 3, Anthony, where would you land? Aggregate them.
Just an average score, like where the show. I'm at a 9 out of 10 on the show right now. I think
love
it's,
it.
I think it's great. And yeah. There's been nothing that's basically turned me off in any sort of way. I just need like the landing to be stuck to give the season like a 10 out of 10 or something. But I mean, so far it's been incredible. It's about everything you could have asked for. Whenever you said, if you could make a movie about this, you know, it'd be great. Yada yada yada. Like the way they've done it and brought it to the screen has just been like about as good as you could ask for, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been fantastic.
We even talk about the clickers in episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick shout out to the clickers. They were fucking sick.
They nailed it. Yeah. I mean, like the noises, obviously we knew they were going to nail that part, but like, yeah, they were pretty fucking scary. Yeah. When, you know, you're trying to be quiet and you make a crunch and you're just like, fuck, that's the end of it right there. But yeah, no, I mean, every piece has been landed so far. I'll be with you and say 9 out of 10. If I could score episode 3 individually, I'd give it a 10, maybe an 11.
Yeah.
But like
that tweet
you
sent me was hilarious about that.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like
Joel needs a truck.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We're going to take this emotional journey to get there or something. And I think the director last night tweeted that was the happy episode. So like we're probably going to get some shit.
I know how the story goes. And there'll be some more brutality. You can bet your ass if they're gonna keep going this way. But
yeah, I mean, I think they're onto something big here. I'll be at that 9 out of 10 too. And yeah, I've really liked it so far. I'm excited to see where it's gonna go. And Yeah. Yeah. So that's The Last of Us. I know it's not a movie, but y'all have to just deal with it. We make the rules. You don't.
That's right.
Sorry.
And it's a video game we've talked about for a long time, and now the fact that there's a show about it and it's actually good, I feel like it's important to talk about.
It's basically a movie.
Right.
I mean, it really is. I mean, last night's episode was a fucking movie.
It was like an hour and 20-minute Hallmark movie, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, more emotion than you're going to get in most TV episodes. I mean, I think that's a type of TV episode that'll be held in pretty high esteem for a long time. Like, that... I'd put it in my top five episodes of TV I've ever seen. Like, it's hard to rank them, but, I mean, fucking holy shit. So, now, let's talk what we'll do next. So, like, I don't know exactly when we'll record, but when we do, what movie should we do? We're in February. It's going to be cold. Is there anything we can intertwine winter into? I don't want to just do TV shows and do like Game of Thrones or something. Sheesh. What should we do, Anthony?
So many movies to choose from.
Yeah, I'm looking at my cat and I've got it.
Oh, no.
We should do The Cat in the Hat.
Like
Mike Myers version.
Oh,
yes.
My God. I can do that.
We should. That movie is so not appropriate for children. I mean,
I don't even think that's a good movie. To me, I can't remember. It might be awful, but I think we need to watch it.
It's pretty fucking funny at times. Like, you'll laugh, but no, it's not a good movie by any means. So it'll probably be some low scores.
God. It has a 4 out of 10 user rating on IMDb.
Haters.
And a 19 Metascore.
Oh, jeez.
I can't wait.
One of the worst rated movies we'll probably ever do.
This movie is also just about as long as this past episode of The Last of Us was.
Hour 20?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Perfect. All right, well, whenever we're recording next, which I would estimate will be done in about 10 days, that's my guess for now.
That's pretty good, man. We're spoiling these people now.
Yeah, so just, you know, if we lose some listeners because of this, I'm sorry. I know at the beginning of the episode I said, I'm not apologizing, but I'm sorry. For the ones that do listen every week, I am sorry. I know that some of you actually do care a little, and that makes me feel good that you were a little upset that it hasn't been out yet. But hopefully you enjoy a random drop when you were thinking maybe it wasn't going to come back.
Yeah, it's going to be they're going to be coming out as a premium now. You know, these things are hard to come by.
I don't think it's going to help us. I really don't. But maybe it will. Who knows? Maybe people will be like, oh, shit, I can listen to it now that it's once a month or something.
And if you're feeling down, go back and listen to our three-hour rendition of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Because I guarantee you probably missed something. And it'll keep you entertained for a long time.
Get you through a whole fucking workday at least. So, all right. As always, you can... like us on Facebook. Holy shit. Email us at seenthatpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @weave_seen_that. All right, Anthony, that was episode number. Oh man. What was it?
Well, we need to tell the people we have like an unreleased one that might never see the light.
There is a dark tape out there, folks.
Yeah.
There's an unreleased episode, which I've always wanted to do something like that, like the X-Files of our show.
So that's the funny thing is, like, if we ever drop that one, it's just going to be like going back in a time capsule because we were talking about stuff that's
not
going to
make any sense. Not going to make shit sense at all because we kind of watched a movie, but. Yeah, maybe I'll just drop that randomly when I'm
if you want to keep this as our in order, you know, we did National Treasure, which was 121.
Oh,
so this will be 122. And then the Dark
Perfect.
File will be, you know, whenever.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll release it at some point.
Do a double feature.
Maybe not today. Not today. All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the We've Seen That podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm Anthony. And roll credits.